I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the pumping on the right shares my beliefs. I think the pumping on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right. Good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, and thanks for joining me today. Today is it. We're bringing it back. Here it is, the return of Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. If you have not ever heard that segment of my show, I did it for about 6 years here, every single Wednesday. And it is imploring people, explaining to people that you are largely responsible for your health outcomes. The focus on genetics and bad luck is really just, it's a learned helplessness we've been conditioned with, and so much matters on how you choose to approach your own health and how much you can improve your health outcomes if you kind of know what you should be doing and maybe shouldn't be doing. I start every one of these segments, as I did for 6 years, explaining to people I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a biologist, I'm not a vaccinologist, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a nothing. I have no certification to advise anybody on their health. I just have had about a 20-year now curiosity about these things because I saw myself and my family's health dramatically improve when I started paying attention to what I was putting into my mouth. If you currently, right now, have not heard this segment before and you think you can cruise through the grocery store and load up your grocery cart with a bunch of processed food and bags and boxes and feel good every day and be healthy, I will work on these occasional Hump Day Health shows to dissuade you of that notion. You know, this country, we are slowly losing our quality of life and dying prematurely because of the chemicals in our foods and our medications. So if you think you can eat a bunch of garbage and feed your innocent children this same garbage and the big pharma will come and save you, you may be clinically insane. I have had my one-man war on the new weight loss drugs on this show, really, since they've gained such popularity over the past 6 months to a year. And I ran across an early morning segment. You know, this is kind of a rolling segment on these new weight loss drugs where everybody believes you can eat whatever you want to, and Big Pharma would at $1,000 a month. And remember, you have to be on these drugs for the rest of your life. I was actually talking to a former pharmaceutical rep the other day, and we were talking about the disaster that are these weight loss drugs. And I said, can you even imagine? You've got to be on these things for the rest of your life. And they said they sold biologic drugs. And every one of those drugs, and I can't remember the names of what she sold, she said every one of those was lifetime prescriptions too. They cure nothing. They just mask symptoms, and they are for life. When you get on these drugs, if you get any benefit from them, you are tied to them for the rest of your natural life. That is the same with these weight loss drugs. But check out these few little segments here about some new things they're discovering as they do this grand experiment. Have you noticed they've been doing this? I've been noticing this for 20 years. Most of these drugs are all experimental. GMOs in our food was experimental. Spraying our crops with glyphosate was experimental. We still really have got no clear picture on exactly how it's affecting our health, but as I look at the health landscape, I gotta say, I don't think it's going well. But with these weight loss drugs, they just burst onto the scenes. They were designed for diabetics, I believe type 2 diabetes, but one of the side effects of the drugs was you lost weight, sometimes in some of the most unfortunate areas, being your muscle mass, your butt, and your face. But they are discovering other side effects of these drugs too. Check this out.
Morning on In Depth today, something new to consider when it comes to popular drugs for weight loss.
So you may have seen Ozempic personality making the rounds on social media. It's a term used to broadly address changes in mood and attitude, sometimes serious, that some people say that they feel after being on those medications.
Okay, NBC's senior consumer investigative correspondent Vicky Nguyen is here with a closer look. Hi, Vicky.
Hey, good morning, Savannah Hoda and Craig. You know, as with any medication, people can expect to experience some side effects. But when you're talking...
And these are the same morning shows that have been pumping this drug and pushing this drug for months now. Now, we all know why, don't we? Is it because they love the American people and they just want to see you lose weight and be healthy, happy people? Oh, no, 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 no. We know the largest advertiser on commercial television are the pharmaceutical companies, so each one of these segments that they have done have been paid ads. That's why this one's kind of interesting. Somebody must not have paid their most recent advertising bill with NBC.
Talking about drugs that can lead to drastic weight loss through appetite suppression, users are also dealing with changes in their habits, how they socialize, and their appearance. And it is all leading some to worry that the medicines are changing who they are.
My anxiety is through the freaking roof.
It's the latest side effect that's giving some patients pause.
I absolutely, for months now, have been feeling depressed.
They say popular diabetes drugs, which are also used for weight loss, such as Ozempic and Mounjaro, are leading to mood changes and depression in what's been dubbed Ozempic personality. Some users complain they don't feel like themselves, their joy dulled.
I used to be a really positive, bubbly, like sunshine person. And over the last year and a half, I've kind of lost that.
Since being prescribed Ozempic, Sydney Foster has lost 90 pounds. She says it's her mental health that's now weighing her down.
Is this making you rethink your relationship with this drug that you're using for weight loss?
It has been. I know I don't want to have the same mindset forever. If it just means staying skinny, that's not what I want.
These injections include the ingredient semaglutide, which regulates hunger and makes you feel full. But experts say its effect on mood needs more research.
There has not been any link directly with the drug and any known personality disorder or any known psychiatric condition. But it would not be impossible to see a range of responses, including a change in personality.
Yeah, so they haven't found this. Could it be that they're not looking? Or they never actually tested these things for these particular things before they unleashed them on the public. Thank you, Oprah. Thank you, Today Show. Thank you, all these media mouthpieces. Of course, we know that, you know, if it changes your personality, the guy said just for months now, he's been incredibly sad. You know, another benefit of cleaning up your diet? Your mood improves. Isn't that weird? You can pay $1,000 for a drug that you have to be on for the rest of your life with a laundry list of side effects, or you can make changes to your diet and your lifestyle, get a little bit of exercise, more on that later, and actually feel better, feel happier, feel less stress and anxiety as you lose weight.
After receiving 175 reports from Ozempic and Wegovy patients experiencing suicidal thoughts, an FDA study found no link between the drugs and suicide, though the...
It's amazing how they do that, don't they? They have investigated themselves and found themselves not guilty.
Administration added it could not rule out that a small risk may exist, and it's continuing to study the issue. What's more, while Wegovy, which is approved for chronic weight management, lists depression as a possible side effect, Ozempic, which is used to treat type 2 diabetes, does not. Novo Nordisk, the company behind both drugs, says it collaborates closely with the FDA to monitor the safety of all its medicines.
Right.
This latest complaint adding to a growing list from some patients.
My biggest side effect was nausea.
Health and wellness store GNC announcing its locations will now have a dedicated section of items that may help address more common side effects, like products that support GI health, muscle mass and bone density, and nutrition. And while doctors say the relationship between mood changes and the drugs needs to be studied, they're hopeful their benefits outweigh potential hazards.
I am not worried about it when I weigh the risk of obesity, diabetes, and all the other health conditions against the use of this drug.
You know, again, is anybody paying attention to this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. So this is what they're saying They act like, you know, she says, I'm not worried about it because the risk of obesity is so much worse than the side effects of, you know, being suicidal, being depressed, being anxious, being unhappy, not being able to have any more joy in your life. She's not worried about that. They act like there's no other cure for obesity. Like there aren't other ways to address it that don't have any of these side effects. As a matter of fact, the side effects of straightening up your diet and paying attention, it's not easy. I'll grant that to you. If you have a 30 or 40 or 50 year history of a bad relationship with a bunch of garbage food, to make that change does take some effort. I will admit it. I've been through it and I still struggle with it. But they act like, look, you know, your choice is you're either obese or you're on these drugs and you just might have to deal with some side effects. No. The choice is you can go back to the way we ate 20 or 30 years ago that was not everything from bags and boxes loaded with chemicals and fast food that contained 300 ingredients per menu item, and you actually get your health in check naturally. Again, not easy, but people can do it. Instead, they want you to take $1,000, and you heard them talking about GNC now, the health food store, I guess you would refer to it. Now they've got a section. So what you do is you take Ozempic, which wrecks your health in a whole bunch of different ways and, you know, paralyzes your stomach in some cases. It does all kinds of unnatural things to you at $1,000 a month. And then you go to GNC and you probably load up on another $100 worth of products to put back into your body what was naturally there before you destroyed it with the $1,000 a month drug. Is it just me, or does this seem absolutely insane? But it keeps going.
I mean, Vic, so many people are on these drugs now. If you are feeling some of these feelings, what do doctors suggest that you do?
Yeah, millions of people are on these drugs, Craig. And Dr. Patel says it makes sense that they would have a wide range of responses. But if you feel any changes in your mood, you're not feeling yourself, go talk to a therapist, go talk to a counselor right away. And also see a doctor about potentially changing the medication that you're on. That could help you as well. But she says don't hesitate to seek help. And we should mention we did reach out to Eli Lilly, the maker of Mounjaro. They did not respond to our request.
It's interesting because even if it's...
No, of course, if you go see a therapist, right? Hey, look, if you're on this $1,000 a month Ozempic drugs, which is doing a whole host of unnatural things to your body, and it's got you feeling a little, I don't know, suicidal, go see a therapist. What's the therapist going to do? Anyone? Anyone? I've covered this actually before. I've covered this this idea of Ozempic and depression, and they have talked about the fact that then you just add a antidepressant. And the antidepressant can cause some kind of food issues, so sometimes there's other drugs to counteract the side effects of the antidepressant, which was there to counteract the side effects of Ozempic. Holy cow, I can't even imagine being on this medication treadmill and not just throwing my hands up and saying, oh my God, what am I doing?
It's not the medication that's causing these feelings. A huge life change like that, losing a bunch of weight, it's an emotional change. It's not just a physical change.
And how people treat you and respond to you in your social circles can be another factor that can be isolating. If you're the only one making these lifestyle changes and the friends you go out with aren't respectful of that or aren't into it, that can also make you feel lonely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So reach out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not alone.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you.
So that's what it is. You were fat. And you took this $1,000 a month unnatural chemical treatment into your body, and now you're losing weight, and your face is sinking in, and you're losing your butt and your muscle mass, and your friends aren't as friendly to you anymore because they're still fat. That's what the problem is. It's not the whole host of the chemical cocktail that you were injecting into yourself monthly at $1,000 a month. Just that alone. I got to tell you, if I was obese, $12,000 a year for the rest of my life. I got to tell you, I might just keep the weight. But this is where we are now. And these are the Pied Pipers of these drugs. And it's not just these. If you've never heard this segment before on the Mike Madison Show, I do a kind of a double-barreled approach to health. First is I blast the pharmaceutical and the medical industrial complex in this show to try to destroy every shred of credibility they have when it comes to your health. And as I have said for the 6 years I did this show, there are wonderful doctors out there and surgeons that can do absolutely miraculous things to a body that was broken by a trauma. That is where the beauty of modern medicine comes in, delivering a child that would not have been viable prematurely 20 years ago. Today, a child can be delivered and brought through to health in ways that we couldn't have imagined 20 or 30 years ago. There have been some great, tremendous advancements in modern medicine, but not when it comes to your health. Your health is your own responsibility and nobody else's. I'm going to end this segment with a genius clip by a couple of girls I think I would really get along with.
Hey, you should try our new prescription medication. Side effects include sneezing, wheezing, labored breathing, trouble speaking, sleeping, eating, hemorrhages, internal bleeding, feeling short of breath, nausea, dry mouth, cough and fever, blockages of the ureter, choking, bloating, tremors, seizures, coma, stroke, or death, mood swings, muscle aches, weight gain, fugue states, osteoporosis, sudden psychosis, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, masochism, vampirism, sudden necromanticism, phantom limbs, fanaticism, chronic deja vu, transient telepathy, changes in your destiny, ancient forms of leprosy, chronic deja vu, loss of hair, weight, smell, taste, balance, vision, hearing, strength, loss of memory, will to live, sense of self. Give. Do not take this medication if you are pregnant, breastfeeding, or a human person. Ask your doctor if it's right for you.
I need a remedy, yeah. But what is ailing me, you see? I need a remedy, but what is ailing me? I need a remedy, yeah, but what's ailing me?
If you are new to the show, I'm going to reset the table a little bit. It hit me during the break. It's been about 18 months since I've done a health show. Who is this guy? I've listened to him before. He does libertarian political commentary. And so just briefly, not to repeat myself to those who used to listen to the health show and who have recently asked me to bring it back, and I appreciate everybody who talked about it. It is a positive segment. I learned over 6 years of doing this show every Wednesday that there were many people out there, not always because of me, but they would just relay stories of when they decided to take control of their health and lost 100 pounds or got off of medications or their children were better behaved when they started paying attention to what they were feeding them. So I always appreciated that part of the show. But for me, I'm just some guy. And back in 2004, I believe, no, it must have been 2005, I started reading stories about little girls going into puberty at age 7 or 8. And at the time, I had a 4-year-old daughter, and I said, well, I don't want that for her. That doesn't seem normal. So I started doing just a little bit of reading. At the time, I was eating a ton of bag and box food. I had a ton of chronic conditions, horrible stomach problems, constant headaches, horrible insomnia, restless leg. I got bronchitis every year. I got every cold and flu that surfaced anywhere near me. Every year, I would have at least probably 2 or 3 bouts of something that took me out of work for a few days. So I was like most people. And so I started researching food and, you know, what would it be that might cause my daughter to go into puberty early? And I realized it could be chemicals in the food. I never really got the answer, but what I did decide to do was, because of my children, not for myself, I was a victim of the medical establishment back at that time where I just thought, I'm unlucky. I'm just somebody who has stomach problems. That's just what I have to deal with. I'm just somebody who gets headaches all the time. I didn't win life's lottery. I just don't feel good. This was when I was in my 30s. And I felt like I was getting old. So when I decided I didn't want my young daughter going into puberty early, so I was going to take things out of our food that I thought might be doing it, like the hormones that they give to our cattle that they have in our milk. So I started switching us over to largely organic stuff. I found a lot of things that my children would like, even at age 5, but they weren't loaded down with chemicals. We ate a lot of organic apples. We ate a lot of organic chicken. We ate free-range eggs. I just did whatever I needed to do to try to get those hormone disruptors out of my daughter's diet. What happened next was unexpected and welcomed. And that all of those chronic conditions I had, the chronic stomach problems, the chronic headaches, the restless legs, the insomnia, it all went away. And I went on a streak for 15 years where I didn't have a single sick day. I couldn't have gone 6 months before that without getting sick. And I went on a streak for 15 years, and I blame what I thought was a hangover, but it was actually the beginning of the flu that tricked me a couple of years ago into actually succumbing to the flu because I didn't jump on top of it with sunshine, vitamin D, apple cider vinegar. I let my guard down thinking it was just a hangover from a Thanksgiving party. Anyway, that's where I come from. I stumbled upon this stuff, but the healthier I got and the better I felt, the more research I did. My children grew up, they were almost never sick to the point, and I've told the story before, where the pediatrician looked at his chart one year and said, oh my gosh, you guys only come in here once a year for your checkup. And when I started to tell him why that was, you know, he asked the kids, why are you so healthy? And the kids pointed at me and rolled their eyes because they know I would preach to them about eating good quality food. And the doctor looked at me and I started to tell him about how I switched us all over to organic food, and he had zero interest. I could see his eyes glaze over after about 9 or 10 seconds of me getting into what I had done to produce healthy children that didn't get sick all the time when their classmates did. He had no interest in it, and that was my second light bulb moment. I went, oh, of course. Of course, they've lost a customer. And that set me on this path, and I feel better now than I did 25 years ago. So that's my story. You know, we're talking earlier about this Ozempic stuff, and this is one of the stories I've covered many times, but it came out recently in another story. A new study has found that exercise is twice as effective at alleviating depression than taking antidepressant drugs. Experts analyzed 14,170 people with major depression disorders from 218 separate trials and ranked different forms of exercise by how effective they were at treating the condition compared with existing treatments. This is out of the UK Telegraph. Walking or jogging 2 to 3 times a week was the best way to improve mood. The researchers found improving symptoms by 63% compared to taking SSRI drugs, antidepressants, which only produced a 26% improvement, not to mention all of the risks and side effects. Study found that the benefits from exercise tended to be proportional to the intensity, meaning the more intense, the better. And I've done this many, many times. We are so over-medicated in this country. People eat garbage, and a lot of your emotional system, your mental connections are through your stomach. You pollute the stomach and then are surprised that you've got brain fog and depression and these things. All of this stuff lifts if you have a good diet and you get out and move a little bit. Twice as effective as an antidepressant, and all of the benefits that come along with movement and exercise, no side effects. No harmful side effects like homicidal ideation. I won't spend this show doing it. I've done it many times before. Every school shooter has been on these things, or at least as I tracked it, about 95% of all the school shooters have been on these SSRI drugs. But my little Johnny really needs it. Does he? Does he really? Or are you feeding him garbage food and he's not going outside and playing? Maybe that's the problem. Little Johnny's got some emotional issues. Anyway, this is what my frustration is with this new $1,000 a month shot with all of these horrific side effects. Have you seen these Hollywood people? They're talking about Ozempic face. I've seen some pictures of these recently. It's a very gaunt, hollowed out face from these people that are on Ozempic. I'm seriously wondering if I can get to law school, get my degree, get licensed by the bar in time for the massive lawsuits that are going to come against these companies that are allowing these people to take these dangerous weight loss drugs, because it is going to be a payday from some attorneys when people catch on to what these drugs are about. So anyway, that's my story, and this is just one of the many stories I covered over 6 years and will cover going forward that shows that the answers to your depression are not found in a brown bottle from a pharmacy. They're found in your food, and they're found in your movement, getting out there and doing something. And even with the best diet and a good exercise routines, sometimes we get sad. There's sometimes I don't have the best day ever, but it's pretty darn rare. I know I can wait it out. It's part of the human experience. I'm not going to medicate it away. I'm going to experience it, and it's going to go away, and things are going to get better. The pharmaceutical companies have sold us a bill of good on these antidepressants, and they're doing the same thing with these late weight loss drugs. Beware, and talk to your loved ones about these things before they get started. I'll be right back. Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue. And when the band plays Hail to the Chief, ooh, they point the cannon at you. Now, it ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no senator, song, song. It ain't me. It ain't me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and we are rebirthing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I will do at least a couple of these shows a month is my plan right now, maybe more. I'm kind of getting into it. This is a passion of mine. I enjoy it, and I think it's a positive thing to put out on the radio if people actually take the information or just the idea that you control your health and run with it. There's not too much better thing I can do on the planet than free people. As I've said, I'm the Harriet Tubman in the escaping the medical system here in this country. Here's a quick tip. And so, like I say, I've got a double-barreled approach to this. I want to strip all credibility from big pharma and big medicine when it comes to actually maintaining your health. And then I also want to give tips, things that you can look at. I've talked a lot about vitamin D, and you can find my old shows, Hump Day Health shows. Just look for The Mike Madison Show on any podcast platform, and you'll find old health shows. But and if you want to email me, it's MikeMadison@WYAB.com. Give me a couple of days. I'm busy these days, but I'll get back to you. If you have health issues, you'd like some resources or some doctors maybe that you can look at. A lot of bad information on the internet. It certainly is not easy to get through. I've spent 20 years doing it, and I've run across some things that I thought were just completely worthless and counterproductive, like mainstream nutritionists. The idea that you need a whole grain diet as the base of your diet. Oh, my gosh. How's that working out for us? But I'm certainly not perfect. I did Jazz Fest this past weekend. Great event. Weather was really great. One day some rain, but mostly cloudy and a breeze and in the 80s. It was just absolutely beautiful. One of the things that wins out over my desire for good nutrition is alcohol. When I'm at an outdoor fest listening to Jimmy Buffett's Coral Reefer Band, I can tell you that right now. And so I certainly had a few drinks, a few beers. It's New Orleans after all, and I'm outdoor at a festival. One of the things I discovered years ago, and you can look this up and do your own research. All of these things I'm saying to you, I'm not a doctor. I'm not prescribing. I'm not telling you what to do. You've got to do the research yourself. And sometimes you've got to just try things and see how they work for you. We're all different. There is no one size fits all. You just got to keep trying. I'm still trying. 20 years later, I'm still experimenting with things like fasting or any kind of different protocols. I'll check them out and try them and just see how they work. But one thing I did find when I do go out and have a little fun, there is a supplement you can get called NAC. It stands for N-acetylcysteine. And I believe it's effective. Again, do your own research on this. Make sure it doesn't count, you know, interact with any drugs you're on. I don't have that concern because I'm not on any pharmaceuticals for the last 18 years, but you need to check those things out. But taking NAC, I think it's like 30 minutes before you drink or the morning after, is a great thing for kind of detoxifying your liver, which is really where that poison from the alcohol sits and causes you a bunch of problems. And also electrolytes. I've been a big fan of electrolytes either while I'm drinking, before I drank, or certainly the day after for perking up a lot when you kind of get a little bit of energy back into your system. So there you go. For the days that you don't feel like paying attention to what you eat, that's something that you can take a look at. I've got a long clip here. I don't like to play long clips, but this one is so important. I wanted to read this. There's can't do a health show these days without chronicling the disaster that is the experimental Operation Warp Speed program that was rolled out on the American people. Check this out. And I know a lot of people that took the vaccines, they seem fine. I am not somebody who was out screaming, if you took this shot, you're going to die in the next 2 years. You know, there were a lot of people saying, within 3 years, you're all going to be dead. And I came on the air and said, nobody knows that. I don't know if there were bad batches for people or their biology. You know, some people were more at risk for this spike protein. I don't think it was good for anybody, but some people might have been able to get rid of it in their body. I don't know. But it's been a disaster for a whole lot of people. This is from a pharmacist in Michigan. She received the Moderna vaccine. Just listen to this. Quote, Rob, my husband had a stroke. When I went to the hospital the next day, I had a major heart attack in the ER before I could even go to his room. Then I ended up having two amputations of my leg. Now, I don't know. She was somebody that was proudly vaccinated. I don't know, but it's something that probably should be looked into, and it's not being looked into. Neither is this.
I'm here with Angela Wolbrecht. She was a nurse at UCSF for 17 years in, you said pediatrics?
Yeah, I was a charge nurse for pediatrics.
And before the vaccines rolled out, how many young kids would die from heart attacks in your career?
Zero.
How many cases do you know of since the vaccines have rolled out of young kids dying unexpectedly from heart issues?
Over 100.
Wow. Yeah, that's some, I mean, the children. Children that were never at risk from the disease itself. And it is great, I will say. It's a tragic, tragic way for it to happen. But it has opened a lot of people's eyes to Big Pharma and to the government's facilitation of Big Pharma as they forced some people to get these shots, threatened them, I guess is really a better way to do it, taking away their livelihood or not letting them travel. So the government, hand in hand with Big Pharma, was on full display, and a lot of people have woken up to it. Not enough to say, maybe I should rethink these statins they've got me on, too, that have got a whole host of side effects, or this blood pressure medication, or this, or that, or this antidepressant. But that's probably coming. I think the great awakening on pharmaceuticals is coming. When I come back, though, I want to play this clip. It's kind of long. I don't like to do a whole lot of long clips. But as I was going through this clip, looking for ways to edit it, I said, this is all important. Particularly for parents out there, and there's been a lot of talk about the childhood vaccination schedule. Now that you see that they will roll out a vaccine that will harm your children, maybe you should rethink the ones that have been out there. They've been harmed. There have been parents screaming from the sidelines for decades that this vaccine schedule has been harming children all these years. Nobody would listen. Now more people are listening. Well, I want you to hear the experience of a pediatrician to understand exactly why this vaccine schedule exists and why your pediatrician doesn't want to hear any negative words about vaccines. I'll let you hear that when we come back. Stick around. All right, final segment here. I need to get straight into this clip. I've covered what you're about to hear to some degree before using information that I'd found years ago, but who am I? Just some jackass with a political radio show telling people about the medical system? What do I know? I got no credentials. I didn't get no schooling, so I thought it was very important. This is a physician who had a very large pediatric practice with a lot of patients. I want you to hear exactly what his financial benefit was to the vaccination schedule that our kids are going through right now.
Pediatrics for my entire career up until I retired a couple years ago.
All right, so tell us about getting paid to vaccinate. How does it all work? Because parents need to understand this.
So as a pediatrician, I had my own office. At the end, at one point, I had 10 providers. We had 15,000 active patients and 33 staff. Overhead, we were running through about $3 million in gross billings. That's a big operation with a lot of overhead. What wasn't known to me actually until I really looked into it is that the income from vaccines was substantial. And I got clued into it because I started getting more and more patients who didn't want to vaccinate. And the only thing I was sacred in my practice was honoring informed consent. You couldn't work for Integrative Pediatrics, which was my practice, unless you were willing to honor parents' desires, whatever they were. If they wanted to follow the CDC schedule, if they wanted to do some vaccines, if they wanted to do no vaccines, it was their choice. Well, as other practices started kicking people out of their practices if they weren't following the CDC schedule, I was getting more and more families who didn't want to do any vaccines, which was fine with me. I'd been doing enough research to understand there was definitely some benefits to not vaccinating. Not financially, though. So we took an entire month of every single billing sheet. And on every visit, on the back of that, our providers would mark off what vaccines we recommend according to the CDC schedule. Families could decline them. And then our billing department, insurance company by insurance company, vaccine by vaccine, we looked at how much money was being lost for vaccines that were refused, just the admin fee. So there's three main ways you make money off of vaccines in pediatrics. There's actually a fourth. The fourth is that you bring people in for well visits, and there's a really hefty fee or reimbursement for just doing a well visit. But the vaccine-specific income to a pediatric practice, number one is the admin fee. Think of this as a thank you for giving this shot. It's rationalized by the following. They say, well, pediatricians spend a lot of time talking about vaccines. They need to be reimbursed. The truth of the matter of what most pediatric practices do is they give you a one-sheet glossy from the CDC that's called a VIS, Vaccine Information Sheet. You hand it to the patient when they go into the office, the nurse gives it to them, and that's your education. So it actually is taking zero physician time. And physicians will dodge vaccine questions. So really, it's just a thank you for giving the shot. And you get about, it depends on the insurance company, every contract's different, but I would average it out to say about $40 for the first antigen and $20 for each subsequent antigen. So at, let's just say, a two-month well baby visit, there's a DPT, that's three shots, three antigens. Hib, Prevnar, Hep B, polio, rotavirus, six shots, eight antigens, about $240. Thank you for giving those shots. Multiply that by the fact that I was getting 30 to 40 newborns per month. They're coming in repeatedly at 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, 15, 18 months, and age two. It's a lot of visits. And then there's the older kids who need boosters. So we looked at the admin fee loss, and for my practice that was billing at that time about $3 million gross, we were losing $1 million, over $1 million in vaccines that were refused. Pediatric overhead runs 60-70, more likely 80% these days. It is very expensive to run a pediatric office. You need multiple nurses, multiple receptionists, multiple billing people, medical records. It's a huge operation. So you cannot stay in business if you're not giving pretty close to the CDC schedule. It just doesn't pencil out economically at all. But let me tell you about the other two ways we make money from vaccines. One is the markup. That's small. They don't allow a lot of profit on vaccines as far as markups, but they do this thing called incentives or bonuses, and it's called a quality bonus. So hospitals have quality measures, and this is why hospital protocols are followed so strictly, because if you follow the protocol, you get extra money. Well, in pediatrics, one of the main quality measures is how well you vaccinate. Isn't that interesting? It has nothing to do with how healthy your kids are. Like when I studied my vaxxed versus unvaxxed patients, the unvaxxed were so incredibly healthy. They rarely got sick. They rarely would end up in an emergency room or in a hospital or with any chronic condition. So being unvaxxed results in very healthy kids who don't use a lot of medical dollars. Every health system should want that, but it's reversed. It's all flipped. It's bizarre. CEOs get paid more based on how much is spent in the system. So the sicker the population, the more the CEOs make. I digressed. So you've made your thank you bonus. But now this other main way of making money is the quality bonuses. So 2-year-old screening for how well you vaccinate. You're supposed to have had your kids up to date, about 80% of them by age 2. Guess what percentage of my population was at fully vaccinated age 2? 1%. The goal is 80%. So Dr. Paul gets an F minus. Basically what that means is, not only do I not get paid the normal amount for everything else we do in the office, I get dinged maybe 10 or 15% off of those RVUs, relative value units, that are ascribed to everything you do in medicine is given a value. If you do very well on your quality measures, you're a really good vaccinator, you may get an additional 10% on everything you do in your office. That's huge. And really, it effectively means a pediatric practice cannot survive using insurance without doing most of the vaccines, if not all of them. And I think that's the pressure that pediatricians are under. And I think that explains the blinders, that they just won't go there and look at the fact that these vaccines are causing a lot of harm.
So there you go. It's not about health. That's not the factor in this. He's telling you right there, his unvaccinated kids are wildly healthy. It's not about health. It's not about your health. It's about making sure they can cover their overhead. The overhead that, you know, these same insurance companies that give all these bonuses and everything to, they are the ones that created the bureaucracy that's led to such high overhead in pediatric practices. It's about money. It's about bonuses. I've covered this before. I had the numbers. I don't have them in front of me. But I know some health insurers, you know, if you reach like 75 or 80% of your patient population is fully vaccinated, you got something like $400 per child. You just heard that guy say, what did he have, 15,000 kids in his practice? Multiply that times $400 each. It was a sliding scale, $200 each. What, that's a few hundred thousand dollars bonus. He also mentioned he has an integrative practice. I do encourage people, if you are looking for treatment for yourself or for your children, to look for integrative or functional doctors. Mississippi, because it's captured by Big Pharma, does not allow naturopaths in this state, but they do have integrative and functional medicine here, and you would do yourself and your children a favor to maybe find one of these open-minded doctors who is actually trying to practice health care, not disease management, and not selling Big Pharma products. That's all the time I've got for today. Enjoyed doing a Hump Day Health. We'll have more of them coming up. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. Here comes the-